Let's Talk Land, a weekly land education talk show devoted to learning about land and farms, buying and selling, ownership, especially for real estate agents and realtors. Learn from the experts. Free land education. Hi, my name's Lou Jewell. I'm an accredited land consultant with United Country Real Estate, Sutton Properties. Our new company name, along with my co-host this morning, Teresa Martin. Hey, Teresa.
Hello, Lou.
Teresa's one of our agents. She's been with us almost, 2 years now, right?
2 years, yeah.
Wow. All right. Buying and selling homes, land, or farms. If you want to auction your property in Western Piedmont, North Carolina, or Southern Virginia, just give us a shout. We'll help you out. Our new office is at 102 East Main Street, next to BB&T Bank in downtown Pilot Mountain, North Carolina. Please make a note of our changes. Our new company website is www.allsuttonproperties.com. That's allsuttonproperties.com. This show is dedicated to the Realtors Land Institute, and our show sponsor is LandHub.com, where you can view thousands of properties for sale at LandHub.com. Our guest today is Eddie Blanton, CCI and Principal Senior Advisor for Triad Commercial Real Estate in Charlotte, North Carolina. Welcome, Eddie.
Hey, glad to be here.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. I've been wanting you on our show for a long time, but I wanted to wait, and you became our national global president for CCIM, which you now are. So congratulations on that assignment, and I know you'll do a good job. Just a little background on Ed, if you don't mind. He's a senior advisor principal for the Triad Commercial Real Estate in Charlotte, North Carolina office. In 2020, CCIM institutional global president. Been working in commercial real estate since July 1996. Obtained his CCIM designation in May of 2001. He was the North Carolina CCIM chapter board of directors from 2003 to 2011, and also our state president for CCIM. You received the J.W. Levine Leadership Development Class in 2011, and 2011 the Susan J. and can you pronounce that name? Gionidavel?
Genevelle,
Leadership Award of Excellent recipient. Congratulations on that. That's quite an honor. You've been a member services and chair from 2012, Tech Board of Directors, CCIM Tech Board of Directors, Executive Committee, Secretary and Treasurer. This looks like me in the Carolinas chapter. We almost have the same involvement, and that's quite a dedication, and we appreciate your service. And that's one thing that's nice about our real estate industry. We have very few people that are paid, mostly staff at the national, at the state, at the MLS offices, and then, of course, our alphabets, we call them, our acronyms, our organizations, professional organizations, and it's all volunteers, and it's amazing the amount of hours people do and the dedication. So thank you for being part of that. You're also a Myers Park graduate. I was in 67. When did you graduate from Myers Park, Eddie?
Way back in 1983.
83. Wow. Same old buildings, huh?
Yes, absolutely.
Beautiful campus. Western Carolina Business Management. You went to University of North Carolina, Charlotte, and got a BA in Management General. And of course, CCIM Institute, certified commercial investment members, one of the largest commercial real estate networks in the world. Chapters in more than 35 global markets with over 9,500 or more than 150,000 commercial agents. Wow. So it's quite an organization. We at the Realtors Land Institute, we're proud to have our 1,300 members and our 500 ALC. So, it's part of the National Association of Realtors. We're all pleased to be part of it. Hey, can you tell us a little bit about what CCIM is?
Absolutely. CCIM Institute classes or courses is the backbone of our business. We are an education-based institute that provides the CCIM designation. And our courses are taught by instructors who are themselves industry leaders. They deliver the commercial real estate investment methodologies and tools that speed the pathway between opportunity, a go, no-go decision, and success for an individual asset. Each class is designated to enhance the success of commercial real estate professionals, regardless of specialty. We were founded 53 years ago. And since then, our institute has been educating real estate specialists across the globe and also in different industry categories. We continue to guide the growth of nearly 8,000 professionals each and every year, including a sampling like investors and investment counselors, asset managers, brokers, appraisers, corporate real estate executives, property managers, developers, institutional investors, even commercial lenders and portfolio managers, attorneys, and of course, our good friends, the bankers. Many of our professionals go on to earn the CCIM PIN and commercial real estate's most coveted credential, which represents proven expertise in investment analysis. As I stated earlier, we've been around since 1967, with more than 20,000 professionals having completed our core designation program. Today, there's fewer than 10% of commercial real estate investors and advisors that currently wear the CCIM PIN, making them the go-to expert in their respective markets. Industry research has shown that CCIM designees significantly outperform non-designated professionals across key metrics, including compensation. While the core curriculum to earn our CCIM designation is for those who want to set themselves apart as the expert in their company or their individual market, it's not for everybody. That's why the Institute offers more than 60 other courses in our Ward Center for Real Estate Studies, along with custom training, to ensure that everyone working in commercial real estate has access to professional development, regardless of their ultimate career goals. In conjunction with our 50-plus chapters around the world, CCIM Institute continues to innovate best practices. We provide members with industry-leading tools, and we advance the commercial real estate profession.
So what is a CCIM designation?
The designation itself is conferred upon commercial real estate leaders who have a proven record of success in the field, and they also have demonstrated a mastery of financial, market, and investment analysis. CCIM designees come from a variety of professional backgrounds, as I spoke about earlier, including some of those, again, like asset management, brokerage, banking, development, etc. It's more than just a designation. The Institute's Ward Center for Real Estate Studies, which I spoke about earlier, provides ongoing education and professional development opportunities outside of our designation curriculum. In addition, our CCIM Institute members, that includes our designees and our candidates, have access to tuition discounts, demographic reports and mapping tools through our site to do business, an exclusive property marketing platform, CCIM publications, and much more.
Yeah, it's quite an organization. For the listening audience out there, you know, you're familiar with MLS, multiple listing services. We have MLS offices all over the country. And that's primarily for residential and land brokerage, although we do have an area in there for commercial. But we also have a commercial MLS. Talk about that a little bit and how that differs.
Well, the commercial MLS is really different in each and every market. I'm located in Charlotte, North Carolina, with our company, Trad Commercial. We have offices in Charlotte, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and Greenville, South Carolina. In each market, the local MLS is different, whereas we utilize the Charlotte Region Commercial Board of Realtors here in Charlotte, which uses the Catalyst Network. Others in Greenville, South Carolina, and in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, have a combined residential and commercial MLS in their local markets.
Okay.
So really, it varies from market to market, and that's true across the United States.
So if you're looking for commercial property, you can still call a normal real estate agent, but just like land, you know, there's certain requirements and expertise and issues. In fact, I think Teresa in your real estate class, when you're getting your broker's license, they throw a slide up, Eddie, says that land is the most complicated of all real estate transactions. Now, you'll probably disagree with that because commercial, I'm sure, can get very, very complicated. And years, people don't realize some of the commercial transactions may take 2, 3, 4, 5 years or longer with all the processes that's involved. with government and local planning and engineering and all the stuff that's involved. But it's, you know, for those out there that don't, that just think you can call a real estate agent and we're knowledgeable in all aspects of the real estate industry, we're not. You know, so it's just like if you've got a brain tumor, you don't go to the dentist. I mean, you go to the brain surgeon. And that's probably not the best example. Eddie, you probably have a better one. But, you know, if you're out there and you've got commercial property, seek a CCIM. If you're interested in land and farms, seek an ALC, Realtors Land Institute member. Our website, by the way, is www.rliland.com. What's the CCIM website?
Our CCIM site is www.ccim.com.
So it's very simple. But that's a go-to place starting out if you're looking to invest or if you're looking to sell. So please use those sites. It's real important.
Are the classes, are the courses online?
We actually, at the moment, yes. But we actually have a combination. We have three styles of classroom courses. That's where most people get the best benefit out of our classes because we tend to have three things. We call it our net, which is our networking, our education, and our technology. And so in order to really capitalize off of that networking part, the end, you really need to be in the classroom. I have some really good friends that I met way back in 1997 in my first CCIM class. I actually had the pleasure of closing a deal with one of my classmates 60 days later, and we continued through the program together and actually took our remaining three classes and set for our final, our comprehensive exam together. We are best friends to this day. We're business partners, and our families are friends who vacation together. So that's quite a story.
Yeah, it is.
So how long?
The rest of it is with the virtual situation today that we're in,
right.
You know, because of the COVID-19 situation, our staff team did an incredible job. We had virtual classroom environments already, but we took our entire education program into a virtual environment. And we did that within 2 weeks of the shelter-in-place orders going into play in the Carolinas and beyond. And so we're really proud of that fact that we were able to do that. We also have a hybrid model, which is a self-paced model to where you have X amount of time to go through and to study and do a self-paced learning style. And then you have time in the classroom as well. So, you know, it's really a hybrid. And it gives you the best of both worlds there.
Right. And we do the same thing in RLI. We have virtual classes. We have, you know, I teach the Land 101 class. It came out in 2003. I've been teaching it since then. And, of course, I have a four-hour class called Introduction to Land Brokerage for realtors that need the CE elective credits. I'm the only land instructor with the only land class in the state of North Carolina. Sounds crazy. And, Eddie, I found out there's not any other CE classes on land in the United States other than there are a lot of classes. So, you know, it's just what it is. One thing I did want to talk about for those that are out there, realtors, the late Tony Rickard, and you know Tony and what a contributor he was out of Matthews, North Carolina. He was not only our Carolina's chapter president, but he was also your state president for CCIM, and he worked with NAR, National Association of Realtors, and created a fast track where if you had a CCIM designation, you could also get the ALC with a instead of taking the six courses, taking three courses. And just recently, P.J. Daughtry was on the committee out of Wilmington, and I think you guys, CCIM, has now got a fast-track program for ALCs that would like to get their CCIM. So that's pretty exciting.
Yes, we do. We have complimentary fast-track programs, and I actually have taken all the education with the Realtor Land Institute.
Have you really?
And I have, and I've taken all the education. I have never specialized in land itself, but I do know the value of it because it is underneath each and every product type that I've ever done a deal with.
From the ground up.
And so we've got to have that dirt, that's for sure.
You
mentioned a gentleman just a second ago, Tony Rickard.
Yes.
And if I could elaborate a little bit.
If you will, we're going to take a break.
Tony.
If you can, a break. We're going to take a break here if it's okay. Our guest today is Eddie Blandon. This is Let's Talk Land. Looking to sell your land? Try landhub.com. So we were going to talk about Tony Rickard. What do you want to say?
Well, let me, where do I start with Tony, or our friend, as we call TR, Tony, the original dirt dog here in the Carolinas. And Tony and I had a very, very special relationship. Early on in my CCIM career, Tony took me under his wing, and we really became best friends. And when Tony passed away back in 2009, his wife Sonia asked me to do the eulogy, and which I accepted. And I remember it like it was yesterday.
I was there.
Tony is such a special gentleman that what I spoke about during that session was explaining my relationship with Tony is simple. I don't know whether he was my father or my brother, but he was somewhere in between. So that describes Tony.
That's quite a description, and I was at that eulogy in service, too, and it was, you did an incredible job, and the other folks that were there, too. It's quite a crowd. He was, well, we sent him off well, and, you know, the last time I talked to him, once I found out he had pancreatic cancer, and we talked maybe during that tenure. He didn't last very long, by the way, but I remember the last time I called him, and I said, Tony, how you doing? And he said, well, Lou, he said, you know, I'm doing fine. He said, I've got all my wheels done and this, and Eddie's helping me out and my other buddies. And he said, the family's in good shape. And he says, I'm ready to go. And I said, well, you know, I said, Tony, I said, if you get to heaven before I do, how about cutting a little hole and pull me through? And he got real quiet. And sometimes, you know, Eddie, you say the wrong thing, the wrong person at the wrong time. And, man, I was sweating bullets. And he came back to me. He says, you know, Lou, he says, you know, I used to be an old surveyor. And he said, no, when I get up there, I'm going to check things out and look around. He said, tell you what, I'll just come get you. I said, well, don't do it too quick now, you know. I said, I'll be happy to see you later. He says, don't worry about it. I'll come get you. So we laughed and giggled, and that was my last conversation with Tony. I totally miss him. Let's get into what we want to talk about this morning, about the COVID-19. And I want you to get your crystal ball out. I know you've been on a couple other shows. You were on an international show here for a couple hours recently and talking to the Asian market. And but what is everybody saying? You know, nobody knows what's going to happen here, but we can project. And I know there's a lot of preparation going on. I was listening to one of the university presidents talking about how the school was going to change and bringing back the health center and, you know, classes, smaller classes and all kinds. So what's going to happen? What's the crystal ball? What's it telling you?
Well, would you like me to specifically speak about the commercial real estate market or just the world in general?
Well, both, if you can do that. You're quite talented. So any information that you want to put out there that might be helpful, helping people plan their future and the effect
sure.
it's going to have on us.
I firmly believe that every person out there needs to have a good computer, a good camera, needs to have a private green screen to go behind you so
right.
that everybody doesn't see everything going on in the background, and you can put your own background behind you when you're on these webinars. And, you know, a lot of people are experiencing what they call Zoom fatigue out there, as it's been nicknamed today. But I really see that the business will change. That's definitely going to be the wave of the future. You know, large conventions, large gatherings, that's uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen with that. And also, you know, with schools in general, I mean, I have a 17-year-old son, Zach, and Zach is in school from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. each and every day, taking four straight classes and has a 30-minute lunch break. Is that going to be how he starts his junior year in high school? Well, it's certainly how he's finishing this year.
Right.
And so if I did have that crystal ball, I promise you I'd probably buy a lottery ticket and use it up for that. But since I don't, all I can do is give you the best answer, and that is that we are in an ever-changing industry. Yesterday was different than today. Tomorrow will be different than today. whether or not it's a 9/11, the Great Recession, or the COVID-19. We are in an ever-changing industry, so each and every day we get up, we learn, we get educated, and we read, we listen, and we learn a lot in this industry. I learn way more listening than I do by speaking, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak today, but I'm just giving you my point of view.
Sure.
I believe that as long as people understand we're in an ever-changing industry, in good times and in bad or uncertain times, then they will be better at what they do. The public needs us. Our clients, our customers need us because of our expertise in our local markets. It's our job to learn and to be able to promote and to educate and communicate. And so I see that the classroom is going to be different. And also, I don't know what this fall and winter is going to look like. I don't even want to begin to speculate.
So let's break this down a little bit, okay, if you can. Let's look at the retail market, the CVSs, the Walmarts, the grocery stores, the dive-in restaurants, for example. A lot of those are starting to open up now, but some are going to be closed. And just for example, the restaurants are talking about, you know, they can't make it. You know, it's a very marginal industry. What's a restaurant going to look like next week, next month,
yeah,
3 months, 6 months from now, a year from now?
I tell you, you know, I'm a retail specialist. That's what my specialty is. And so this is top of mind for me for sure. Retail is going to see a bifurcated reaction to the economic downturn. Storefronts selling, you know, consumer staples like a Walmart, a CVS, and grocery stores, you know, they're going to thrive. You know, while our dine-in restaurants, for example, as of last week, we thought they could remain closed, you know, for the foreseeable future. But as of this week, as we see shelter-in-place restrictions ceasing in many states, we're looking at how are they going to reopen? What are the resources and the requirements going to be in each of those? You know, here in North Carolina, I spoke to a restaurateur yesterday, and they're looking at Florida and Georgia restrictions and how they can open so that they can go ahead and prepare for that day.
Right.
And so it's going to be different state to state. It's going to be different because of governmental influences. But I firmly believe the day of packing everybody in a cafeteria-style setting in the restaurant industry is gone. We're going to see less tables. We're going to see less seats. We're going to see less opportunity to gather and pack up. So what is that going to do? Well, that's going to directly affect what tenants can pay for rent, because even though you may have a 200-person occupancy, you may only end up with 100 seats in there at this point. And so that's what I see, you know, with the restaurants that you talked about.
Are they going to be looking for larger venues to keep their number?
I don't know if it's larger venues, but I certainly do know that if I'm a restaurateur, I'm looking for that end cap space so that I can get that outdoor seating. I think that's going to be paramount for success in the future. Also, a drive-through will be paramount as well, because look at this situation we're in today. You have curbside pickup, but the drive-thrus are handing it right out the window. And so that is a top of mind piece right there for sure.
There's going to be a lot of holes cut in walls, huh, around the country.
Bartenders are going to be
repositioning in retail centers. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see midline or inline tenants that are in the middle of a shopping center try to get to that end cap,
right,
or try to get to that out parcel. I definitely believe we'll see that.
See a lot of shifting, huh?
Absolutely.
And, you know, the bartenders, we're not going to have the typical bars we used to have.
I think that I'm going to go back to the ever-changing environment. Each and every day is going to be new for us.
Right.
And we can all speculate, but until we see how it's going to happen, and we know what the new rules are and the rules for gathering and being in the same place with others, I think we are just in a situation to where it's a wait-and-see scenario at this point.
Well, how do you plan with your clients? I mean, what are you telling your clients? What are your clients asking you? Eddie, what should I do? Are they asking you for advice? Are you giving them advice?
Absolutely. From minute one, as soon as the first step was taken, you know, to halt some of the international travel coming into the United States, we started preparing our clients and our customers for this.
And what were you doing?
Whether it's our, it could even be our landlords, you know, preparing our landlords with their tenants as well.
Right. Are you got many customers that's not able to pay their lease rent?
We're at about 85-86% rent collection right now.
Okay.
It's been amazing. We have some, what I call the small business clients that are struggling, yes, but we also have small business restaurant clients that have told me their business is up from before the COVID situation.
Wow.
So they have figured out how to produce food, how to get it out the door in this environment, and their sales have actually increased. And so we contribute that to the community
mm-hmm.
that surround them. They want to make sure their favorite eating establishment is there tomorrow and didn't go away yesterday.
Yeah. Well, we all can support that. We have a little sandwich shop. I think it seats, what, Teresa, 10 people, 12? It's a little teeny breakfast and lunch.
And, yeah, and everybody loves it.
And I've been eating breakfast there for 30 years. And it's usually like $3 to $5, maybe $6, depending on what you have. And since this thing started, every meal that I buy in there, I give them $10. My slogan is $10 will buy everything. And I do that because I want to keep them in business and other people's help supporting too. And, you know, they need that. And if you can afford and I can do it, you know, give them a little extra. Keep them going. So that's my way of supporting.
I agree totally. We promote that each and every day, and I've taken to social media. I've taken to all the outlets, the neighbors page, and whatever it is to definitely promote each and every person. And my family and I go eat at different establishments when we choose to go out and pick up that dinner.
Right.
And that way we're supporting all within our market.
Exactly. So anything else on retail? We'll go to hospitality. Anything else you want to say about retail?
Well, I firmly believe that, you know, retail, even though it's taken a big hit and you're seeing some of the bigger players out there, you know, the J. Crews and people like that have filed bankruptcy, it's really for protection.
Right.
You know, they're filing Chapter 11 so that they can reorganize and come back. You know, next week you're seeing a lot of retailers here in North Carolina going to reopen their doors that are classified now in Phase 1 as essential. So we've only been down for 5 to 7 weeks. Is this going to be a blip, or is it going to continue? Once again, I do not have that crystal ball, but I do expect that with people sitting on the sidelines for so long, they're really going to want to get out, and they really want to engage and get back into doing what they did before, and that is living life to the fullest.
Sure. Well, you know, that's one thing Teresa and I enjoy, and Rodney and Shada and our doggies here, is we live in a rural area, a little town of 1,282 people as of last week with 4 stoplights, and I yell at all 4 of them. And, you know, once you leave the city limits, you're in the country, you know, 360 around. And you get out there and you just drive for miles and miles and miles, and, you know, and so we really haven't felt the effect of, you know, the urbanites. But one thing that we're hearing, Eddie, is starting to pick up, Teresa, too, right, is these urbanites are calling us saying, you know, I live in Winston, I live in Charlotte, I live in New York, I live in urban areas, and I've been working for a company for 10 to 15 years, and for the last 5 to 6, 7 weeks, you know, I've been working at home. And, you know, I live in a high-rise apartment, I don't have a balcony, got elevators, and... you know, I want to get out of it. And I talked to my boss, and my boss says, you know, you can continue working at home because, you know, you told him you want to get out of there and get in the country. So we're getting a lot of people in the urban areas calling us wanting to buy 5 or 10 acres and get the heck out of the urban situation because the company's going to allow them to continue. And that's something that's going to change, too, around the country, I think. We're seeing a lot more and more of that. So, you know, our guest today is Eddie Blanton. This is Let's Talk Land. Land Hub, sell your land, land of your dreams. About retail, let's go to about hospitality. Eddie, what are you seeing there?
Well, in hospitality, you know, unsurprisingly, hospitality has been decimated by the national response to the pandemic.
Well, international response,
and the CCIM Institute has a chief economist. His name's Casey Conway.
Yep.
And he recommends those in the sector ask themselves some really basic questions. You know, for those that own hospitality assets and invest in that space, you need to step back and really reflect on what brought you to that property type. You know, why? Where are you going to go in this particular period? The market had near record revenues per available room, average daily occupancy, and rental rates. And whether I'm a hospitality REIT, a hotel owner, or I have properties in that sector, you know, I want to negotiate with my lenders for some debt restructuring right now. And we're seeing, I mean, you're seeing hotels that are locked down. You know, obviously, fewer people are staying in hotels. This trend might not end anytime soon. So what can hospitality do? That's what a lot of people are asking. You know, they might need to consider adaptive reuse of the properties. Can these properties be converted to multifamily? So that's an idea that's come up as well.
Right. Well, that sounds logical. I mean, you know, it's it wouldn't take that much to convert some of those. And the usage, and now people won't be traveling as much. You're going to do more teleconferencing, you know, less traveling. There's going to be a lot of winners out there, too. Think about the HAV companies. You know, one of the ladies in our office today wanted to update her HAV system with ultraviolet. New product out there, and hydrogen peroxide, air cleaning, adaptation to HAV for home use. But this is, we're going to see this definitely in the retail markets, won't we? And the sanitation and the plastics company putting up all these plastic shields. I mean, you know, this is creating a win-win for a lot of vendors out there.
I agree. The way that we all do business is going to be totally different. The situations are different, and actually the restrictions and what we're going to have to do, including my own office. You know, I'm looking at a how do we get back to work situation.
Right.
And so yesterday I had that talk with our entire staff and our agents, and what's it going to look like when we do come out of shelter in place and we do end up back into the office scenario. That's going to be a big issue.
Yeah, I mean, people in these little cubicles, and there might be a, you know, 10,000 square foot open space with 200 cubes in there, and, you know, now everybody wants a little office with the door where they can close it, and then now they talk about shift, putting in two and three shifts, you know, so they don't have as many people at one time, and then sharing my office, and Teresa sharing my office, and you know, now they're saying, well, we don't want to share our office. And I mean, there's a whole lot of conversation going on out there.
Yeah, especially with the office market, since you've touched on that. You know, our economist with CCIM is of the mind that there's going to be a surge in office demand, you know, and a newfound appreciation for the physical office, as you just spoke about.
Right.
We also believe that suburban office demand may increase. You know, more affordable for the company to accommodate a less dense office rent model. It's going to be more convenient. It's going to have a shorter commute for the employees. You know, plus the aversion to public transportation. That's something people haven't been talking much about so
right.
far.
Right.
And less density, you know, both in the office and the surrounding environment. You know, we're going to see the leasing market, it will suffer in the short term due to the COVID-19 layoffs. Because diminished tenants overall need for space. And in many cases, you know, like myself, we've set aside expansion plans that we've had. Tenants who remain in the market for additional space will have difficult time touring properties too. Not many people want to lease an office space that they can't physically get in and tour. You know, the office workers' pushback against the open office environment like you talked about is certain to accelerate, as illness is more easily transmitted in an open environment. So you're going to see that paradigm shift of where the walls went away, as you spoke about, and became an open bullpen type area, or with mass cubes, and you're going to see that go back to that private office environment again. Yeah. And most employers already recognize, you know, that it's going to be a competition to attract and retain top talent. That squeezing workers into an increasingly tight space is not a sustainable strategy for the future now. Social distancing and good health practices, you know, they're going to continue in some fashion even after the crisis has passed. What does that look like? I don't know. Once again, we don't have that crystal ball.
Sure.
But it's definitely going to help reverse the densification trend, you know, with less shared space and fewer workers per leased square foot. So I do see that happening.
And obviously more people working at home, right?
Absolutely. This is proven. This is proven that we can work at home, we can be successful, and we can get our work done.
Despite the kids and the dogs and the cats and all the other things that happen in a home environment. Oh, boy. Interesting. Okay, anything else on hospitality? We wish them all well. How about the office market? We're talking about it a little bit. Let's see if we've covered everything we wanted to in that.
Yeah, you know, that's where I kind of jumped into the office market a little bit there and, you know, talked about the surge in office demand, you know, for appreciation of a physical office and the suburban office demands. But, you know, think about this from on the property management side. Okay, they're going to be looking at it from more touchless surfaces and technology in office buildings, you know, like verbal command elevators versus, you know, touchpads and touchless access hardware with sensors, not unlike what one person may find in, you know, revolving doors in like a New York or Chicago, to have the increased cost of janitorial, sanitation. It's going to be a bigger CapEx expenditure to comply with such as a HEPA filter on HVAC, or even separately zoned air solutions in tenant spaces to insulate tenants from each other. So it's definitely going to change.
Teresa, you're...
Well, I didn't even know you could do that.
Teresa.
Well, I didn't.
We can do anything. We're Americans.
Yes.
Well, welcome to the future.
Yeah.
Now.
2001 Space Odyssey. Here we are.
So that sounds like HVAC might actually get a boost here.
Oh, it already
with different
is.
Types of things. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I was telling you,
Teresa. I would definitely think that HVAC companies are going to be called immediately, if they haven't already, to come do surveys of the existing systems.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. And different types, like I was talking about, the infrared cleansing, the peroxide that my... one of the ladies in the office was talking to one of the local.
Yeah, I think she called it a halo or something like that.
Yeah, halo, yeah. And even in medicine, I saw something the other day where they're using, they just got approval to do an insert in your esophagus with white laser to kill the germs, where they insert it down in your throat, and it, I don't know, there's all kinds of stuff coming out. It's going to get real interesting. You know, we talk about the bad, but I think there's going to be a lot of good coming out of this, too. And it's going to be kind of interesting to watch here in the next several years how we transition, not only here in the United States, but around the world, and how we do business. So, hey, let's talk about multifamily. What's going on there? What do you see there?
Well, you know, similarly, the multifamily sector could see significant upheavals as unemployment rises. Businesses that are closed employ people who now will struggle to pay rent. And we've already seen that and heard about that in the news. You know, it's a similar situation to the retail sector, but only in this case, the tenant is an individual or a family, you know, who lost its source of income. You know, tellingly, Freddie Mac has announced a nationwide relief plan for current multifamily borrowers and also residents. But I will tell you this, too, with the multifamily. There are a lot of people out there that haven't paid rent. And it's not a rent holiday for those that obviously can pay. And so that would be the biggest item that I would like to get out here. you know, please understand it's not a rent holiday. There are sources out there that help us, and what's going to happen in the future, I don't know. We know there's more packages they're talking about, and so we're going to see a little more of the stimulus, I would imagine, that will come back out. But be clear, it's not a rent holiday, and a lot of people think that it is.
Right. I got a question. You know, cap rate is a very important part of the commercial market. We don't see that in the residential and other real estate markets. What's going to happen to the cap rate formula, in your opinion, on some of these things we're talking about in general?
Well, I tell you, as far as cap rates, we haven't seen much movement at all in cap rates.
Can you explain what,
explain
what cap rates are for those that don't know, if you don't mind?
A cap rate is one of the many measures that an investor would look at in analyzing a property for purchase when they look at the investment income approach. And so the cap rate buyers, what they're looking at is, and I guess maybe the shorter answer to this, how is it affecting it, is would be to share the ways it's not affected commercial real estate.
Okay.
You know, the pandemic is unlike anything we've experienced with disruption across the board in our industry. You know, hospitality and retail were the first wave, but now our economy, you know, being on lockdown still in most areas and the trickle-down implications of our jobs and business losses, there's really not a single part of the entire commercial real estate ecosystem from the tenants all the way up to the lender and the institutional investors that aren't experiencing negative impacts of the COVID-19. But I do want to be clear about something here today. COVID-19 is not 2009, and our CCIM economist, Casey Conway, he recently shared in our economic update that he and I did a couple weeks ago that the Great Recession was a liquidity crisis, and that's where credit froze up and banks withdrew the lines of credit. You know, the Fed was slow to act, opting for a top-down approach. The bailout back then went to the banks, and we hoped it'd trickle down. This time, it's actually from the bottom up, with the Fed acting much more quickly. You know, they went down to a 0% interest rate.
Right.
When Congress was trying to figure out the CARES Act. So the Fed has also been quick to advise on loan modifications. And I see that we'll have even more and more coming, like I alluded to earlier.
Well, that's going to be good, too, on some of these repurchasings. With low interest rates, right? I mean, that's going to be an incentive. Money costs less. And for those that was looking at investing, you know, it's probably a good time. I know it is in the housing market and also in the land market.
Yeah.
Our land interest is down, too.
Yeah, I see that. And, you know, the lenders right now in the short term, you know, the borrowers are expected to make their payments, you know, be current with the loans. And that's true in all product types. And, you know, forbearance requests will be reviewed on a case-by-case basis.
Right.
You know, the lenders may require the borrowers and guarantors to enter into pre-negotiations agreement. And borrowers need to contact their lenders and or their loan servicer, you know, for guidance at this point.
Right.
But as far as investors, I believe, as is always, cash is king. There will be the next wave of millionaires made during this time period, just like they are in all down markets. And I believe the extreme amount of cash that has been sitting on the sidelines will get back in the market here in the next 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Let me jump on the last one here on our list, the industrial market. We kind of touched on that a little bit, too, about what's going to happen there.
All right. Well, the industrial market, as we all know, has been pretty strong.
Yeah, it has.
It's kind of a two-pronged situation, similar to the retail. You know, the grocery and medical items, for instance, which are flying off the shelves and at the local stores. So the properties in the supply chain are just humming along right now. You know, other industrial sectors could be in store for tough times, depending on what areas of the national economy slow or even stop.
Right.
But I believe industrial will weather the storm well, especially given the increase in e-commerce.
But aren't we going
to... Many economists, and ours too at CCIM, was quick to note that logistics won't be the same after COVID-19. And we might see more 300,000 square foot distribution centers and fewer 1 million square foot properties. You know, if something goes wrong in this case, it's not a massive disruption to our supply chain. It's just a complication with distribution. And so alternately, you know, in many markets, we may actually find that the remaining active developers can't put risk in multiple smaller properties. And so we need to become familiar with the terms supply stock and demand shock. Hmm. And that's right, I said supply stock and demand shock, because they'll become mainstream terms and concepts in the industrial warehouse market. With our supply stock, you know, the unwinding of the 1980s just-in-time model, you know, to one that is now has additional supply and inventory warehoused to manage through future disruptions. You know, the demand shock is what is likely ahead in the second half of 2020 and throughout 2021. It's where businesses that are closed or who are experiencing less consumer demand, you know, cancel orders in the process of being fulfilled that were held up, whether it's being held up in Asia or a port, you know, somewhere around the world due to COVID-19. You know, what happens to that manufactured and shipped inventory? It has to be stored until the new buyers are found or the demand reemerges. And so both supply stock and demand shock will increase the demand for warehouse space in the near term and the longer term.
Right.
And I would also like to say that, you know, we need to pay special attention to the airline industry and air cargo. If they opt not to go with the government bailout, you know, that will mean consolidation of routes. What if your market loses that airline route? You know, or if your market sees more air cargo traffic due to the consolidation of the airline routes, you know, this will also accelerate the autonomous trucking concept. You know, driverless trucks are on the highways in Florida, you know, as we speak. And Texas and Arizona, I'm told, are not far behind. So I think industrial is here to stay.
Yeah, it is. You know, one thing that I'm curious about is the old assembly line, the Model T Ford, you know. How that may change, more robotics possibly, maybe reorganizing the spatial difference, you know, the distance between, you know, manufacturing A to B to C to D in the assembly line that's, you know, kind of right together, maybe being spread out further, you know, redesign of the assembly line. You see that too, possibly?
I do. And you know, if you really think about that question or that statement, it makes me think of adaptive reuse properties right away. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I think that's going to be a great opportunity for our CCIM buddies out there. You problem solvers. That's what we do, is we solve problems, don't we, Teresa?
Well, I hope so.
Do you have a problem?
No, not right now.
Okay, so we don't need to solve one for you?
Not right this minute.
So what do you think of all this, Teresa?
Well, it sounds to me like we're going to have some good and some bad come out of this. It sounds like some people are going to do better and some people are going to do worse. It sounds like we've got some exciting things going on, but it sounds like we've got some scary things going on. So I think it just depends on which side of the bus you're sitting on.
We still going to have buses?
I hope so.
But you won't be able to sit beside
You won't
somebody.
Be able to sit beside of each other, be 6 feet apart. We're going to have wider buses.
Wider buses.
Wider roads. We've got to widen the roads now.
Oh, goodness. So, Eddie, what other industries do we need to discuss here?
Well, you know, I think that I mentioned adaptive reuse. I think I could touch on that just for a second.
Yeah, please.
We definitely need to look into the forbearance request issue that's out there today.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, well, I'll start with how about opportunities in adaptive reuse? I've been paying a lot of special attention to this because it's going to be the number one skill set for a commercial real estate professional. And it's across many property types, including the hospitality or hotels, you know, the urban offices, even student housing. We haven't really touched on that. We touched about the classroom. But we're going to have more available space than we need as we come out of this situation. So the adaptive reuse, or ADRU, as many people call it, can be a way of turning a closed bank branch into a telemedicine operation. I mean, you have to be creative here.
Right.
That's the real opportunity. A suburban hotel might not survive, but the demand for an office property in that setting may be a chance for adaptive reuse. It's going to boil down and come down to the basic, you know, commercial real estate tenet of figuring out the highest and best use for a specific property. But you need to do your homework. You have to make sure you're advising your clients and your customers on what that would be in your market during this time. Right. And only the local market expert's going to know that. CCIM, our institute published a research paper on the topic of adaptive reuse as part of our ongoing commercial real estate insights series. And if you haven't seen it, I would Google that and take a good look at it.
What's it called? Go to the CCIM website. Is that where you go?
Yeah, the CCIM.com.
And then where do you go?
You can go / COVID-19. That's www.ccim.com/COVID-19.
Okay.
And you can start there, and you can actually access all of our podcasts and our papers and publications. So it's a plethora of information.
So you business folks out there, we just gave you a good place to bone up on some ideas, right?
Absolutely. And these are totally free. I think we've done podcast now since February. We started out with 5, and you can also on YouTube and through the ccim.com/COVID-19, you can also pull up the economic update that Casey Conway and myself did 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
And it's great information.
Yeah, definitely. Teresa, write that down.
I have it written down.
Okay. You gonna look at it?
Sure.
Okay. All right. What do we need? What may be needed for the forbearance request? Let's help them out here a little bit.
To start with, a written request with reason. You know, the duration and any relevant correspondence from the tenants. You know, your financial projections for the next 12 months, assuming tenant requests are granted. The 2019 year-end property financial statements and the rent roll, and then your year-to-date, that would be your 2020 property financial statements and rent roll. They're going to want to see historical knowledge as well as where you are today. And unfortunately, it's in a situation that has personal guarantees or not, they're going to want to see current borrower and guarantor financials. And that's going to mean 2019 and 2020 year-to-date financial statements of any owner-occupier in those owner-occupied properties as well. So it's going to be a lot of information for those that went through the CARES Act and did the PPP loans for payroll and things like that. You know, you've been through some of this already.
Right. We know the United States is a mosaic representing generations, you know, of dreams and aspirations and exceptionalism. We are quite a country. When those hopes or motivations are confronted by the virus that can't be seen, has no quick or ready available cure, or carries the deadly potential, the country is left to take whatever steps are necessary. And that's what we're talking about today, to combat and survive. The core message I want to, like essentials for human, essential foods, shelter, and wellness are manifested in non-traditional behaviors, hoarding and like toilet paper, not paying rent, we talked about, you need to do that if you can, mortgages and other bills, and delaying purchases. However, optimism is not succumbed to fear. Anxiety and depression are inherent in most Americans. American spirit has been observed and experienced through the Boston Tea Party, the Declaration of Independence, the stock market experience of 29, the Pearl Harbor attack in 41, the assassination of Kennedy and Martin Luther King in the 60s, Landing the Moon in 69, the horrific events of 9/11, and now we've got the COVID-19. While those seminal events cause us to hunker down and change behaviors, they reignite the American spirit for which over 200 years bounded us together. President John F. Kennedy said in its best in inaugural address, ask not what the country can do for you, but ask what you can do for the country. And then, of course, Ronald Reagan echoed those comments and says, don't let anyone tell you that America's best days are behind her. That's the American spirit, has to be vanquished. So, you know, it's interesting times we're in, but I think good times. I'm excited about the future. You know, I feel very confident that whatever we need to do, we'll get it done. And I'm excited about the new engineering and, you know, the architects and the challenges they have and all the engineers and all the things that's going to be, you know, it's going to be a whole lot of new industries opening up or industries changing their direction. And we'll survive, don't you think, Eddie? Especially with the help of good CCIM guys like you and fellow CCIMs and ALCs like me and land brokers. You know, we understand what's going on, and we're here to help. That's what we do.
Well, I know I keep hearing people refer to the Great Depression, but times are different now. Times have changed. People are more resilient. I think we learned a lot from the Great Depression. We learned what not to do. So I think that moving forward, that's just what we've got to do is move forward. I love this quote here that is cited by Winston Churchill. It says, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. Courage in these times is a decision, not an option. I think that's pretty cool.
Where'd you find that?
I found that in your paper here.
Oh. Well, so Eddie, with a couple minutes left for us, what do we want to touch base and then take the last maybe 30 seconds and tell us how they get in touch with you?
I tell you what, just a personal comment or tip for everybody is that I'm going to go back and use two words that Casey Conway threw out, and that is, what is the idea of engaging in what if thinking? You know, if we're headed for a double dip recession, you know, what if your retail leasing clients don't come back? What if I need to change my business? What if I need to expand my skill set to expand the property sectors I work in? And what kind of collaboration could help on any particular deal? You know, I need to be working with experts in other areas of commercial real estate to maximize the value of any deal for the client. And ultimately, it comes back to the fundamental principle, once again, of highest and best use. What once worked for your community, for local business owners, and for investors might no longer be feasible. Start first with your principles, identify the needs and objectives, and then get the knowledge, the tools, and the connections that you need to thrive today and in the months ahead. And that would be the final remark that I would have.
Perfect, Eddie. Way to end. How do they get in touch with you? And thank you for being with us today.
Yeah. Once again, my name is Eddie Blanton. That's Blanton. And I am with TRADD, TRADD Commercial in Charlotte, North Carolina. And so you can reach out to me at eblanton@TRADD, TRADDCommercial.com. Or you can give me a call at the office, 704-554-6800. I'll be glad to speak with you. And one of the final comments also, I end everything with these three things. I ask everybody to do this. Number one, stay safe. Number two, stay healthy. And finally, stay positive. We're going to get back to business soon.
And the good Lord will take care of us. Thank you so much, Eddie. Thank you for joining us today. Let us know how you like the show. If you have any guests or topics you would like to suggest, we'd appreciate them. All questions are welcome, and all of our guests may be emailed with your questions or concerns as well. This show is for the public and, most importantly, for the real estate agents who do not have a source for land education. All of our shows are downloaded after their broadcast today on the master website, www.letstalkland.net, Podbeam, and Spotify. Teresa, how do they get in touch with you?
If you want to buy, sell, or have an auction, call me at 336-209-2937. Or email me at teresa.mylandpro@gmail.com.
That sounded like a commercial.
Yeah.
You can get me at lou@mylandpro.com. My cell phone number is 336-669-3900. 1405. Rodney, how do they get in touch with us here?
Well, they can go to our website, Lou. They can go to WKTE1090.com, click on our website there, and find out all the information they need to know. And also, they can download the Simple Radio app and hear us anywhere in the world.
In the, how about the universe?
Universe also.
Really? Yeah. Always?
Yeah, everywhere.
Moon, Mars, solar.
Everywhere.
Wow.
Trust me.
Wow. And we are a wonderful beach music and oldies, and we only play happy music.
That's right. Only happy music.
Happy, happy music.
We don't want nobody sad.
Hey, we got some awards, too. We want to...
Yeah, 5 years in a row being Station of the Year on the East Coast. And also, I got the Reader's Choice Awards for the Announcer of the Year of 2019.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wonder why. Hey, just a program note, make sure you stay tuned to Dr. Barbie Ask the Doctor. He's coming up next. Thank you for joining us today, and thank you, landhub.com. It's a wonderful website to go to for your land and your land dreams. We'll see you.